everyone. Welcome back to Terrace House Mafia. We're going to talk about episode 11 today, titled
That's correct.
Broccoli Pasta Carbonara Style.
Very, like, extremely tame title for the first episode of Terrace House to show any nudity, but whatever.
Oh my god, I was so shocked.
Holy shit. It's like
screamed.
I really didn't think, I mean, we have to just talk about this at the top. This whole situation, the way that he talked about him doing like a whatever, like a softcore pink film or whatever, I didn't think it was going to be this serious. I thought it was going to be like maybe some kissing, maybe.
It was literally porn.
It was straight up porn.
Yeah.
I feel like also there are a few shots, and maybe I did go through it frame by frame to double check this. I'm 90% sure that I saw his nutsack.
I think I did too.
Right? It's not just me. Okay, good.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure some balls slipped through into the final edit. They got to patch that out.
I think, like, in other episodes, they've had really nice baths. And the dudes have, like, taken baths. And they literally just show their ass and stuff. But this was, like, a first, for sure. I mean,
next level. Like, how sad is it that the first kiss we got this season was some girl none of us have ever heard of?
In literally just porn. Yeah. That's the first kiss we got. That's really,
really just buck wild.
Got to give it to Shohei, though. He's the only one actually getting action.
I guess so. Yeah, as far as we know. Yeah. And then, like, yeah, it's just weird. It's just, I really just didn't think Terrace House would show. I thought it was going to be blurred, or they would zoom in to kind of crop it out and frame it out. Like that scene in the Truman Show where they talk about every time Truman and his wife have sex, they just pan to like a window open with some like curtains fluttering. Like I thought that the Terrace House would handle it that way, not just straight up show us, but whatever. I guess, I wonder if
it's because of the international presence that they have now. They're just international.
They're ratcheting it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Did you watch the Japanese version?
I watched the American version.
Okay, I did too. I wonder if there's any differences there.
Highly doubt it.
Yeah, I kind of doubt it too. It seems like the actual footage is the same every time, and the only differences are the music and the
Yeah, the music is really the only thing. I don't know, because you know how in Europe you can have like naked people on TV?
Yeah.
But in Japan you definitely can't, so I guess Netflix Japan, it's fine.
Yeah, I think that's the thing is like when this was airing on terrestrial like Japanese TV, I really don't think you could have done that, but because it's a Netflix show now, it's like this scene was handled totally differently than it would have been like if this happened on a Terrace House season 4 years ago or 5 years ago or whatever.
Right. Which in a way it's kind of almost revolutionizing reality TV and standards in Japan, which is cool. That's actually
pretty
cool.
It's so funny. It is really cool. That's a good point. Like,
I
feel like part of the way that people tend to pitch Terrace House to Americans who've never seen it is that it's like a low-key, quiet, chill version of it, which makes it so shocking that it had like a nude scene in it before Big Brother, at least American Big Brother, or like Jersey Shore or any or like The Bachelor. Like how did Terrace House beat them to nudity? I guess it's just the nature of making internet content, but what a total left turn.
Yeah, I mean the shocking scenes in Terrace House are like very candidly realistically shot, like that's why it's shocking.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why it's amazing.
Yeah,
this is just one of those things.
They're
also
innovating.
The peanut gallery didn't mention a single thing about
what's up with that? What is up with that? We got peanut gallery scenes and they just didn't say shit.
They didn't even mention it, which was the most shocking thing. So
that's odd. I wonder if they address it next episode. I do wonder if anyone in the house ends up like getting a copy of this, if they do a screening in the video game room or something, like when they watched episode one.
They're all gonna watch it.
They have to. I mean, we have to find it, at least. I want to see him acting more. That's really the thing that I'm in it for.
Yeah, I support him. Good for him.
good on him for getting work. You know, it's been a while.
Yes.
So, putting that aside, I guess, for now.
Yeah.
This episode opens with, more or less, with Kaori, like, reaming Ruka over this Marvel shit.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think I realized somehow until now, and maybe they didn't make this clear, like, he, when he says he wants to be a hero and his idol is Spider-Man, I didn't know he meant he wants to be in a Marvel Studios motion picture.
Yeah, it seems that is his goal. They're like, oh, like Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, Robert Downey Jr., Desu, he says.
Her, Kaori and Haruka both were kind of on him.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And not just and it felt reminiscent of her early conversations with Shohei about his goals. Like, it was weird because on the one hand, I think Ruka guidance is useful for him, right? But on the other hand, it just feels like he's like, I don't know. It feels like he's paralyzed by being afraid of failure. And so he just kind of throws these lofty goals out there and then makes zero progress towards them.
Yeah. Well, you can't make big strides in a day. It does seem like he's making small steps to me.
Totally. Yeah. Well, there's one more scene that's kind of similar to this at the very end of the episode that I think we'll talk about. But what are the other kind of major beats that happen this episode? I guess Shohei tells Kenny in the guys' room about that conversation he had with Risako at the end of the last episode about how she wanted that smooch or whatever.
Right. Because Shohei's an owl. A Harry Potter owl.
He is exactly being used as a Harry Potter owl in this house.
And then the peanut gallery is very accusatory of Kenny's motives.
As usual. They're doubling in intensity on that. Although I will say I was really glad that they pointed out that he was wearing a Spicy Soul shirt because it really stood out to me too.
It doesn't really help his case.
No, it doesn't. Like, and it was like, It was framed in close in such a way that it was impossible to ignore, kind of, which I don't think that he knew when he wore it. It's one of those things where it's like, I can't tell if we're imagining this or not. Like, I don't know. I don't know how to feel about the t-shirts, though.
How to feel about it. I mean, but you do know, like, musicians make the most money off of their merch.
True. And also, like, do musicians wear their own merch that often? Like every 3 days? That feels a little conspicuous. I go back and forth on this all the time.
What kind of person wears their own merch?
It's a weird move.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's so easy to dogpile on Kenny, especially because he like stumbles and fucks up like three different interactions this episode.
It's not even a question for the peanut gallery anymore. It seems like they've actually just concluded as a fact that he has ulterior motives, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're talking about it with certainty. By the way, I really love this, like, in terms of peanut gallery relationships, this, like, this relationship that's evolved between Yama-chan and Sho-chan about, like, him being his apprentice or whatever.
I love it.
It's so good. It's the funniest thing in the world. This show makes me laugh so fucking hard. Specifically, the peanut gallery makes me laugh so hard.
And they're, like, matching outfits almost, too. Yeah. Which is even better.
So I think the biggest, like, actual drama in this episode is all this stuff with Kaori and her coming home a little tipsy and then talking about all this angst she has over whether or not her job offers are coming from her talent or, I mean, she doesn't explicitly say this, but, and tell me if I'm wrong, but I'm assuming part of the anxiety is that she's getting these offers because she's on Terrace House.
Yeah, probably.
She says that people are more interested in her resume than her talent and all that stuff. And it just makes me wonder if some of this is like, am I a good illustrator or am I just on a TV show?
Yeah, valid. I didn't actually even think that far, but that makes total sense.
I mean, it's kind of an assumption because she never explicitly says that, but it's also something that clearly I'm obsessed with because I talk about it like every episode, but the relationship that these people have to the internet and social media and the way that being on the show would invariably change someone's life. It's something I'm fixated on. And like, of course you would get more offers when she's on TV, right? I mean, it's something I wanted to talk to you about last episode, but I failed to, where when they're at that Hawaii event, like, and we're watching our boy play ukulele for the crowd. I was wondering what percentage do you think of that crowd were Terrace House fans?
Oh my God, probably like 20.
I thought so. I mean, like, the like after he finishes playing, some girl yells out like Yusuke, and like there's no way she'd know his name, I guess. Or she, I don't know. It just feels like a lot of the people there were probably there because of Tara's house. And that's kind of this the mm-hmm. subtext that's like boiling under the surface this season.
Yeah, totally. Like career, like how to further your career via being on the show was literally yeah. like the main subject of this episode.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. And everyone's and it seems like everyone has a different relationship like with that. Like Kenny has clearly no qualms about advancing his career with Tara's house, but then Karori is like having a complete identity crisis because of it. It's like too yeah. it's just it's kind of an interesting like example of the ways that fame can affect someone differently, if I'm correct in assuming that yeah. that's part of what she's freaking out about.
I do appreciate though them specifically continuing to cast people who would want to take advantage of the show for their own personal career and not for it to just be like a modeling.
Right. Yeah, we got a wide variety of like jobs this season, you know. It wasn't just models this time around. Yeah. It was like 33% models.
33%.
That's low for Tara's yeah. house.
Yeah. But I also really appreciate the fact that there's so much exposure to like these women that are very like career driven, and mm-hmm. even if it's annoying that they're kind of like getting on like Ruka's ass about it, it's cool to see how passionate they are.
Yeah, about
because it's very non-traditional.
So you're saying that like especially in Japan, it's mm-hmm. it's rare to see women depicted as being this career oriented. Is that,
well, maybe not rare now. I'm like, well, mm-hmm. watching it, this is my thought. I was like, this is literally why the birth rate is going down, and this is why no one's getting married anymore, because women are like taking charge and like getting rid of those traditions.
Yeah. And we've got old dudes like Kenny who just don't seem to give a shit about
exactly
anyone, just themselves. Meanwhile, Ruka tells us that his dad, like, he was born when his dad was like also 20 or 21, which just feels mm-hmm. like such a like a generational split there.
What do you mean in terms of like when you have kids?
Like, yeah, like Ruka doesn't seem like he's about to settle down and have kids, and neither does anyone else on the show, and they're all far older than 20.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah, no, I mean, Kaori and Haruka aren't having kids anytime soon, clearly. No,
definitely not. So Kaori talks about, part of her angst came from, she says she lost touch with her college professor, her, like, she says, like, sensei or whatever, and then yeah. just rekindled that relationship. And I'm kind of, that's something that's interesting to me, because I've never once thought to talk to any of my professors from college ever again. I don't have that relationship with them.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm like, I'm wondering if that's something that's particular to her, or particular to her school, or particular to Japan. Like,
I don't think it's weird. I feel like I've heard my mom talking about still being in touch with some of her teachers, but also the school that she went to is like very much an Ivy League school. And she seems like kind of a, you know, like an A student type of person.
Kaori?
Yeah, Kaori. So it probably makes sense for her to stay in touch with her professors, especially at that school where there's insane connections.
Got it. Good. That's a good answer.
Yeah, yeah.
So part of her angst comes from her professor kind of, she feels like reminding her that she has been really lucky and that maybe she's not as advanced as an illustrator as other people on her level. Mm-hmm. And Kenny reacts by saying, don't worry about it. Wow, look, even you have these problems. You'll be fine, etc.
Yeah.
Ruka's response, he says something like, I think you're already amazing and I'm looking forward to seeing how far you progress, or something like that.
It was really sweet.
I thought so too. And mm-hmm. so did the peanut gallery. They were gushing over Ruka this episode.
It seemed really sincere too. Like, he wasn't just making something up. It seemed like that was genuinely what he thought.
Yeah, he seemed a little embarrassed to say it, which was cute. Like, it felt heartwarming.
Mm-hmm.
There's also, like, so the peanut gallery roasts Kenny's bad response and praises Ruka's good response. And there's another conversation between Kaori and Kenny. And he gives her advice to just be like, hey, you know what? Don't worry about your career. You should just, like, make stuff for your fans and just pander to them and make what they want you to make. And that advice, like, does not land at all.
Like, she was like, that's it. What I hate.
Yeah, she was like, she was like, yeah, I'm afraid this is where we might have to disagree.
But yeah, I don't, what is Kenny doing? I don't understand.
It's weird. I'm getting tired of him. I want to take back my answer last week about who I would cut. It's no longer Carroty. It's
Kenny.
It's yeah. I'm maybe I'm buying into the peanut gallery propaganda, but I'm fully done with his shit.
Like even if that's not how he really is, he can learn how to appear on screen better.
Yeah.
By now.
Yeah, and so many people on the cast of the show have pulled him aside and been like. I mean, like Shohei does it this episode. He's like, here's how Risako felt about you going up on the roof and not kissing her. Here's how, like, so many people have been like, dude, there was one point where the entire female cast told the entire male cast they need to take more initiative. And then in this episode, he still fails to be the one to bring up the date. Like, Risako has to be like, what are you doing this weekend? Like, she has to do it. And then he's like, oh, yeah, I've been meaning to ask you out, but didn't.
Why? It's just, not that hard. He probably just really doesn't like her.
I guess so. I'm getting that vibe too. Like it felt like he was almost saying when he was talking to Kenny about being on the roof, it felt like he was about to say that something about it felt weird. During that conversation between Shohei and Kenny, when they're just chilling in the boys' room, he says that he's kind of reconsidering things, I guess. I mean maybe he's just not into her. If that's true and if he said it, then it would kind of reframe a lot of his stalling as, oh, he's just not down.
Yeah, like he's indecisive because he doesn't like her enough.
Right.
But then he'd be like, talk about going to the beach or something too.
Right. So it's who can say. I feel like, and the peanut gallery said this before too, I feel like he's completely opaque. I feel like I can't tell what his motivations are. It feels sometimes like he's not being genuine.
Yeah. Honestly, like, leave the show, like, if you have nothing to do.
Right, yeah. So after the bad advice Kenny scene, we see Shohei's nutsack, and then Kenny and Risako have this, like, they ask Ruka to bring his spaghetti to the playroom
I forgot about that.
Double team roast him for, like, a really long time.
Or, like, help him.
Yeah. It just feels like the amount of the runtime of this episode, and this is one of those instances where the editing can affect how I feel about what actually happened that week in the house, but like it just feels like it's been so much. Like he doesn't, if you notice, he doesn't touch his spaghetti once that scene, because he's probably not in the mood to eat while these people are telling him what a like baby he is, which I wouldn't either in that if I was in his shoes. Like it just seems like it was
it was a bit harsh.
I was like surprised he didn't cry.
I would have cried very easily.
Yeah. And Risako also like reveals that Carrie said after the date that she can only see him as a little brother. Risako continuing to fucking WikiLeaks. Risako is WikiLeaks.
She is. Cody specifically asked her not to tell him.
That's true. Yeah. Another thing that I feel like slipped past the peanut gallery this episode is like that shit is Risako's a problem. She keeps doing this.
She likes to talk smack, maybe.
Yeah, she does.
One of her hobbies.
She can't keep a secret, like, at
no,
all.
No, definitely not. It's we all know girls like that.
and like, Haruka now knows firsthand that that's true, but it seems like Kyori hasn't learned not to trust Risako yet.
Yeah.
I just feel like, even though it comes from a good place, I just feel like seeing them roasting Ruka like that just bums me out for some reason. It happens like 3 times this episode, and
but he does have to get his shit together though.
I guess so. It just feels like mean. Like he says at one point, one thing he said this episode that I keep thinking about is he's like, yeah, you know, like before I came to this house, nobody was this was not on my radar. Like I'm 20, I'm chilling working at Dick's Sporting Goods. I didn't know I needed to like have my whole life figured out tomorrow.
Dick's Sporting Goods. Yeah, that's true. It's just probably because they're so all older and not used to like being with whatever a 20-year-old acts like
right.
I don't know, but the way that those old dudes from the garden
construction store, workers or whatever,
they said it in the best way. Like their advice wasn't harsh, it was constructive in like a good way. But everyone else did fucking, it in a harsh way.
That 64-year-old gray, long-haired construction worker guy just absolutely rules. He's
Is
the best.
He God?
I think that might be God. You're right.
Like, he's got some gardener just comes and drops some like wisdom on you, and he just happens to look like
too
God.
Good to be true.
Yeah,
fucking, he was incredible. He's got that long gray hair and like that single gold tooth. He felt like a Japanese Jonathan Larroquette from Oh Yeah Dude, if that lands for anyone. He was just this nice old handsome 64, like, put it on, fuck it, get rid of Kenny and put the 64 year old construction worker guy in the house. New member of the cast.
He would make everyone fall in love with him, even the
for
men.
Real, that's why they can't. He's OP, he's like broken, he's too good to be in the house.
He can only drop down from heaven pretending to be a gardener and give a few pieces of advice.
I feel like if he got in the house, he would die and then come back 3 days later. Fucking, by the way, do you want to talk about Ruka's cooking?
Okay, I would just like to say that although that pasta didn't look that flavorful, it is still better than a natto cheese casserole. That is all I'm going to say.
Drag them. I mean, here's the thing. Nothing about he even said this. Like, nothing about it was it didn't taste bad. It just tasted like nothing.
The line where he said, like, if it, what did he say? He was like, if it doesn't have any taste, is that a failure? And then they like alluded it to like a famous poet, like something like very deep actually. Yeah. And I'm like, wow, like that can be very deep.
Ruka is very deep.
He just dropped some, that was like, he could accidental. Be a poet. Yeah, that was very deep.
Watching him cook reminded me of like in a video game when you're like trying to craft an item and you're just mixing random things together and hoping something comes out, like cracking the egg into the pot. But it was also like sweet. Like I feel like my reading on it, and or at least I think the way that this episode is laid out, I feel like the editors intended that cooking scene at the end to symbolize something that maybe the peanut gallery didn't pick up on, which is this whole episode, it feels like it's about trying to convince Ruka to take risks and go out there and put himself out there more. And then he tries a new trade. It's the first time we've seen him try something and risk failure, which is what everyone wants him to do. And he does fail at it, but he says that he's like committed to sticking with it and trying to cook more and stuff, and that's progress. That's character development, baby. That's real,
literally,
movement.
It was immediate progress. Like, that's like immediate return on influence. Like, that's a quick business result. Like, I would hire him because you tell him and then he goes and he tries.
Yeah, he's got that get up and go.
Yeah,
I agree. And I was a little disappointed that the peanut gallery, I mean, it was funny to watch him crack an egg into a pot with spaghetti in it and then to like cut broccoli directly into it. It looked crazy, and I get why they made fun of it, but I was bummed that they didn't, that nobody on the couch seemed to be like, well, at least he's trying new things, and he's like, these are the baby steps that everyone's been telling him to take. And that felt
right to me too. But I think maybe the peanut gallery seeing it from like the real world perspective of like, life ain't easy, like, we're gonna make fun of this because you still have a lot to do, you know.
There's a scene where they talk about how they think Ruka thinks getting a job at Marvel works. Bing bong, bing bong, Marvel son. He's at the front door, Kevin Feige's front door, ringing the bell, trying to get a job. I just love that image so much.
But also, like, that's not a bad way to. I'm like, isn't that a good way to try to work somewhere? Try to talk to someone.
So many people's stories of how they broke into an industry start that way, with something weird like that.
I was thinking about that though. I was like, I've heard, because I work in advertising, and there's people who have literally just walked up to an agency and like begged, and that's literally how they got an internship.
Yeah, sometimes that's the move.
Yeah, I'm like, Ruka might be a secret genius like underneath.
That's the reason I'm afraid to like say on this podcast into a microphone that it's funny that he wants to work at Marvel, because I'm worried that there's like a 2% chance that 5 years from now he's going to be the star. He's going to be the new Spider-Man somehow, and I'm going to feel like an idiot for saying it could never happen. So
he already looks like a K-pop star. Like, he could easily be like one of the superheroes.
Yeah, I could see that. Especially like Marvel, the next phase of Marvel is supposed to be extremely, like, they've come out and said it's going to be a lot more new and a lot more diverse. And so, like, why not a Terrace House guy on the cast? Fuck it.
Imagine if he just worked out you know, got buff, and then he greased his hair back, like, no bangs, slicked his hair back, and then put on, like, a superhero outfit, he would kill it.
That'd be sick. He could be the next Spider-Man.
Well, I stan him. I stan Ruka. I believe in him now.
And then what is the... I always feel like the final scene of an episode matters. Like, it feels like they intentionally put something significant there. And it's that scene where Ruka's eating, I guess, his leftovers, and he's got some shit on his mouth. He's, like, eating his spaghetti. Did you notice that? That he's got, like, a piece of spaghetti? But it's, like, him and Haruka alone for one of the only times we've seen in a while. And she it feels like she's being very, like, flirty with him and being, like, what are you interested in? Like, what do you want to do? What was your family like?
Oh, in the translation, it might have seemed flirty. I didn't really think about it, but she was talking to him like he was actually like 7.
Okay, that's incredibly useful context to have.
Yeah, it literally just seemed like she was taking care of like a child that went missing and was like trying to figure out, you know, like their life story.
Damn. Okay. Well, shit. We need. I mean, he does look like. I mean, like with the food stuck to his lip that entire scene. I feel like we need to get him like a bib. Like,
he makes me like want to get rid of my Apple Watch.
I just got one, and I've been justifying it because mine is like the space gray one, so it looks a little.
Wait, did you get the new one?
I did. Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
I'm like 4 days into it. I'm still deciding how I feel about it.
You're about that pre-order life, huh?
No, I just fucking bought it on Amazon like a couple days
ago. Amazon?
Yeah, they're not hard to get.
Can you get an iPhone on Amazon?
I don't know about an iPhone. That I haven't figured out. Anyways, I think that's probably a good place to call it. Not the craziest. I mean, if you removed the Shohei titty sucking scene, this would be a pretty tame episode.
I want every Terrace House episode to have a Shohei porn scene in it.
It's so incredible here too, because I showed you those photos, right, of how like people discovered on the internet that this house was used in a porn years ago.
Yeah, I can't stop thinking about that. Remember when we talked about how like the stairs were weird, like it looked like the Titanic, like I didn't like the layout of the house, like it was alluding to that.
Right, we were like, wow, this is a very open floor plan. It's almost like it was built for people to have cameras in it.
Yeah, it was almost like built for an orgy. Weird.
Weird. Well, on that note, thank you guys for listening to Terrace House Mafia. If you enjoy the show, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We'd appreciate it. And then we've only got one episode to go before we run out of the batch of American episodes. I'm going to have to start logging in through the VPN again.
Beloved VPN.
If you are all caught up on Terrace House and you want more episodes, there's like a bunch up right now. So there's 12 episodes of this season available in America. And then in Japan, they are already on episode 15, with episode 16 coming out soon.
Oh my god, we have to hurry.
Yeah,
we have to get on it. Yeah, that's exciting though. I wish we could just binge it. Instead of like, because everyone listening can just binge it.
Right.
But we have to watch, record.
I know. Record. We didn't factor that in when we made this show, is that it actually slows down our ability to watch Terrace House a great deal. But if you want to watch Terrace House and not have to wait for another 12 episodes before they decide to release them in America, you can go to nordvpn.org/terrace to get a big old discount on that VPN. And then you can tunnel in through the airwaves and pretend your computer's in Japan. I'm a little rusty. I haven't done an ad read in a few episodes. I feel like everyone got the point already, but it's getting back to that time where it's actually useful. So nordvpn.org/terrace. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll do this again.
Yep. See you soon.